This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's morning Bible study. We're in Leviticus chapter 10, and we are dealing with the death of Aaron's two sons, Abihu and Nadab, and they died. We talked about yesterday because they offered strange fire, and the understanding is they offered a sacrifice on the altar of God that was not according to God's instructions. It was, in fact, it was worse than that. It was really likely, because of the use of the word strange, which can be tied to adultery, it was most likely a sacrifice that was common to one of the religions of the tribes that were around them, the people that were around them, just like the golden calf was the same way. And when studying through this, you understand that God was not willing to allow that. And he'd already dealt with that real harshly when he was dealing with the golden calf. Now, the aftermath of the matter, and basically that's what the end of the chapter is about. And there's some observations that need to be made about that. And there's some observations that need to be handled about that. The first one is that God was not going to allow them to be honored at all. God was pretty straightforward about this. Moses says in verse 4, Moses summoned Mishael and Esaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle, Uziel, and said to them, now notice, this is Aaron's uncle, which is also Moses' uncle, and they're his sons, so that means they're Moses and Aaron's first cousins. They're very close kin to them. And if you think about it, they would be the ones that would come and help with the burial, but with the handling of the bodies, just like in any, most of the time, the people who are the pallbearers kin, but they're not in the intimate family group. They're usually cousins or uncles or people that are tangential. They're in the family, but they're on the edges of the family. They're not in the intimate group that lives with the person. And that's what happens here. It's not a Israelite thing. This is a family thing. And this is going to be dealt with in a family way. And really, to tell you the truth, it is a struggle for them. This is something that Aaron is going to have to deal with, in that he brought in, and I sincerely believe this as far as the life of Aaron, he compromised when he was put in charge of Israel, when they would not move up on the mountain. He compromised, and he allowed, rather than confronting it and dealing with it, and he had a group of people who would have confronted it and dealt with it, people that were in his family, people that would have been intimate with him, because Moses, when he came down, he called the Levites out, and the Levites handled it. That was Aaron's family also. He compromised and allowed that happened as far as the golden calf. He compromised and allowed those things into his family. And so his sons, even though they were there and saw the aftermath of it, they were still intrigued by it. And in fact, we don't know all the ins and outs here, but we know that not too long after they're given the opportunity to begin to do the priestly ministry, they start wandering toward worshiping other gods. And that happens. That happens a lot. Now, I've had many conversations about people who do things that are clearly unscriptural, or maybe they continue to do some practices that were in their family that are clearly tied to maybe a cult action, or maybe some paganism of the past. That's stuff that happens all the time. And those things are done without knowledge. Those things are done without an understanding. God's not shown them anything. And once they've dealt with those things, once they've looked at those things and said, hey, there's something not right about that. There's something that's not kosher about that. There's something that I wouldn't be a part of if I were doing that. They begin to lay those things aside. God does not deal with it that way. This is something that's more than that. This is something that where God has set aside a group of people to do a certain ministry. They know the truth. They were being trained. They've been told exactly how to do it. And then they chose to involve the things that they knew were not of God. In the midst of it, they chose to say and do things that clearly are outside of Scripture. And I was even last night as I was flipping through a few things, I saw someone say that the church and its position on some of the issues of today is not clear. The Scripture is not clear on it. I don't know where that comes from. It is pretty clear. In fact, it's directly clear. If you said the Scripture, meaning Romans, is not clear on certain things, Romans is real clear on certain things. If you said the Scripture and Hebrews is not clear on certain things, Hebrews is pretty directly clear on certain things. If you said 1 Corinthians is not clear as to Paul's instruction to the church, that's just not true. It's clear and it's to the point. And actually, there's some vagaries there. Is exactly what happened here. It is the same thing. It is presenting that which is clearly unholy as something that is okay with God, and it's not. It's no way to get around it. And so he says, brother, cousin, y'all come and help us carry them outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary. Notice there's no anointing or anything like that. In fact, the only so where in at the end of verse 3, Aaron remained silent. He didn't say anything. He didn't say anything because I'm quite sure that Aaron understood what had happened. Aaron understood the significance of what had gone on here. It says, and they came and carried them still in their tunics outside the camp. As Moses ordered. Notice they didn't take off their priestly robes that they'd been given. They were just carried right outside the camp and probably buried right outside the camp immediately. No pomp, no circumstance, no nothing, just outside the camp. And pretty harsh. And remember, this is family. God's not instructing it. Moses is. Yeah, it is harsh. And oftentimes, a lot of times, this is the second thing I would take from this. Oftentimes, people with their families, they treat loyalty to their families and loyalty to their family's traditions and things like that as more important than what God has shown them. And that's just not true either. That is a dangerous place to be in also. When you treat your family may have been involved in or indulged in the past and has been handed down generation to generation is more important than God's direct revelation to you from his word, not from a human being, but literally from his word. When you treat those things as more important, when you concern yourself with the feelings of your family beyond the clear instruction that God has given you, that's a problem. Now, I'm not telling you that you're following some person or something. I'm talking about the clear direction that God has given you in your heart. These are two totally different things. A lot of cults get people to follow them no matter what they say or do. I'm not talking about that. That's not the issue here. The issue here is as you have grown and studied God's word and you have been revealed things by God through Scripture, the Holy Spirit's confirmed the truth of God's word in your head about certain things in your life, certain things in your family, certain things in the way you used to be, and now you're different. When you show loyalty because your family has put some pressure on you about being a part of their continued paganism, hedonism, whatever it is as far as their lives and how they live, when you assent to that, and refuse to do what God's told you, you put yourself in a similar position as these men are in. You put yourself in a position where you're cut off from access to God. And you say, I'm born again. I have that. Yes, you do. But if you're willing to place worldly and maybe even sometimes clearly evil things in place of what God has told you to do, and what is He's clearly instructed you as to who He is and how he does things and how He made the universe, you put yourself in a dangerous position. It says, then Moses said to Aaron and his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, do not let your hair become unkempt, and do not tear your clothes, or you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. What he's saying is, you represent God. You are taking on a role where they're going to see aspects of who God is and how. Do not act like what God just did, and God did it. Do not act like what God just did, there's something wrong with it. Boy, that's tough. That's a tough position. And it's Moses. He is the head of the family. Aaron's the head of the priesthood, but Moses is head of the whole community, and he's head of the family. And Moses said, do not act as if you're mourning them because of what they've done. Wow. That's a tough word to give. He's telling his family, don't act as if there's something that we should be upset about here. We should not be upset when God reveals His holiness and His truth. We should stand with God and not stand with the feelings of our family. He says, not only that, God will be angry with you and the whole community, and you will die. Wow. And he says, but your relatives, all the Israelites, may mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire. Notice, the people can mourn for them. The people can be upset about the loss, but you can't. Wow, what a tough position that puts us in. That's a tough position that pastors and leaders of churches have to be in. It is. I have to take the position of where God stands on something, even though my heart might be totally broken over the matter. That's a definitely looking through and seeing something that you never realized. Oftentimes, it is incumbent upon those who God has placed in leadership positions, who He has given an anointing and a power. It's incumbent upon them to stand behind and stand with the truth of God's word beyond my feelings or emotions about the matter, beyond how I might think about what happened, and continue to do, even though my emotions may, as we say in the South, run amok. Even though those things might be the case, even though I might be very emotionally torn about it, I have to stand with what God says. I have to stand against anybody who does not stand with God. Those are difficult positions for individual human beings to be in, even though they may be leaders of God's church. That is a difficult thing. And so if you're willing to honor pastor, church leader, honor them because they do what is right, even in the midst of all the circumstances that surround them. They don't do what they should be doing. They do what is very difficult to do. And there are many godly men and women who serve God in different positions, who stand for God's truth and stand for what is right and what God has clearly revealed by His Spirit in His Word. They stand behind it, even though it is a difficult struggle for them personally. And this is a powerful message for God's leadership. Do not let your hair get unkempt, and don't tear your clothes, as was a significant sign of mourning. Don't do that. You stay where you're supposed to be and allow God to be God in the situation. He says, do not leave the entrance of the tent of meeting, or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you. So they did as Moses said. Notice, they had to stay and continue on. Tough position. I remember as a young man in ministry and realizing that's the position I was in, that I had to stay and continue to minister. I had to continue to do the things that were important, even though my heart oftentimes was somewhere else. My heart oftentimes was struggling over the circumstances of life, and I had to continue to stand in the tent of meeting and do what God has told me to do. What a difficult place to be in. But what a powerful place to be in. I think of people that are not in the ministry, but they have to do the same. A young soldier might have a family member dying at home, but they have to stay and remain with their post, even though they have such a great loss going on in their lives. And so many stories, millions of stories like that. I think of people who serve in all kinds of roles, who have to remain and do what they're supposed to do in the midst of very difficult personal and emotional struggle. And this is what's happened here. God has his hand and his purpose behind Aaron and his family. And there are a few of them who decided that they wanted to depart from God's clear instruction and do it their way. Really, what they were doing is doing it the enemy's way. And the cost was great. But God still demanded from that family that they remain and do what they're supposed to do as far as his will and his way. And they did. And this is a very sad story, but it also is a very powerful story, a very powerful story of instruction for God's people, and especially for those who are called by his name. I would say to you, if you're called by his name, stand firm and stand strong, stand true to what God teaches. Don't search for ways to get around what God clearly has said in his word.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.